Welcome to Comics,
episode 225. This week, we talk about
Doctor Strange, The Oath.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast.
Did you see in the notes what I put in? How, are you going to be gone for that on August 8th?
That's the day I come back.
Oh. So yeah, one of our local comic book shops is, having a sale and fucking Gene Luen Yang is going to be there signing shit. So I'm going to take like all of my Avatar copies and I need to buy a nice copy of, Boxers and Saints because I love the shit out of that comic.
Yeah. I'm going to miss that because that is the day my plane That's the day I'm returning home. So, Andy,
I can get stuff signed for it if you want.
I might leave you with my Avatar stuff with you.
Yeah, if you want to, no problem. Because I need to go by your place anyway. I think I need to borrow a car seat from you.
Yes.
I think
it is. Yes. Yeah, we have it set aside.
I got to connect with you anyway sometime this week.
Well, do it before Saturday, because Saturday is the day I leave.
All right. Probably Friday then.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night we're doing something where we bless my wife's uterus or something. I don't know. Some Indian thing.
All right.
Okay, then.
So, moving on. I don't know, Jen, you might be familiar with this, but Andy, are you familiar with the term gunpla?
No.
So it's like the hobby of building. So what stands for, it's a Japanese portmanteau that is Gundam plastic, basically.
Okay.
And it's like Gundam model building. You know what Gundam is?
Yeah, I know. Gundams are sick. I kind of want to make one.
So I'm making one right now. They're super fun.
So when I was a kid, I used to make them all the time, but I would never paint them or do any like finish up. I'd just snap them together, put the stickers on, and be like, bam, I got a cool robot. I decided I want to try my hand at it again, which is bad timing because I'm about to leave for a trip. But we have there's a shop locally. They have an online presence. It's Tatsu Hobby. com, but they have their storefront is here in San Jose.
Where is it?
It's off of 101, like Oakland Road up there.
Okay, yeah, no, I've gone there before, and I walked in, I was like, this is not what I was expecting, but all this stuff is really sick.
So I went there the other day, and I bought a new model. Which was probably not the smartest idea, because I have like 5 unbuilt kits. So now I have 6. But I'm going to try to – I've been like – I don't know what sparked this in my mind. Sometime last week, the flip switched in my head, and I'm like obsessed with Gundam again. And so I've been like watching – I started rewatching the original series, which is kind of rough because it's from 1979. So it feels very dated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, circling back to Gunpla, there is another – there's another series called Gundam Build Fighters that I started watching. I've watched the first 2 episodes, and it's like Gundam meets Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay.
And so basically what the premise of the show is that some scientist invented this particle that reacts with the plastic in Gundam models, and you can basically fight them. You can animate Gundam models with this on these like playing surfaces, and they fight them.
That's pretty
they like battle
sick.
Each other. It's and so like it's you know I maybe saying that it's like Gundam mashup with Yu-Gi-Oh is not the best sell of the show because you know not everybody loves Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah,
it's not the best anime, but this show is actually pretty good. Gundam Build Fighters.
You know,
it's pretty cool, and so. It's got some good humor, and it's got cool, like, robot fighting action and stuff. And if you want to watch it, there's actually a YouTube channel called Gundam Info, which I think is actually affiliated with, like, it's an official Gundam thing. And so they have they have the whole series and the sequel series, which is called Gundam Build Fighters Try. They have the full series with English subtitles on YouTube to watch. So
I don't know. I just bookmarked it while you were talking.
It's a pretty cool show. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I remember watching like videos that my uncle had brought from Japan of the original Gundam series. And then, of course, I watched Gundam Wing and G Gundam on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
But like the show, the whole franchise has kept on churning out shows. And so this one, Gundam Build Fighters, is one of the more recent ones, and it's pretty popular. Like I said, the show's pretty good. And man, I went to that hobby shop and there's just like so many models. It was like overwhelming.
How much does an average one cost?
So there's different grades.
Okay.
There's like high grade, master grade, real grade, and like perfect grade. Perfect grade being the highest one. Those are like $200.
Yeah.
But the high grade, which is the one that's good for beginners usually, which most people say is good for beginners, I paid $22 for one.
Okay. What grade is the one you're working on, Jen? Do you know?
Real grade. Real grade. I would say it's like baller. for a beginner adult, it's perfectly fine. Like, especially if you've done any assembly of Warhammer figurines or anything like that before, because these snap together. It's not like you have to glue it like you do with like Warhammer or War Machine. So in my mind, that makes it easier. And like, you have the option of adding paint details, but you don't have to like prime and, you know, paint everything. Real grade's about, I think they start around 30.
Okay.
Yeah, and it depends on the scale of the model too. Like the small, well, they have SD, which is like super deformed ones, which are really easy to make and they're like really cute. But the ones that are like scaled, like actual scaled ones, the smallest one is 144. And I think those are there's the most variety of different models in 144. And I think the biggest it goes up to is like 160, 1/160th. Scale. So, truthfully, it's like whatever. More complicated models cost more too, even if they're like lower grade.
Okay.
Like more parts and different stuff. But
I've got a good idea. I'm going to go out and get one too. I'll get a high grade since I've never built a Gundam before. And the three of us should have a Gundam building contest.
Oh, God.
And I will call out right now. A couple friends of mine make a podcast called the Super Sugoi Cast. It's a Japanese culture podcast.
Oh, I've listened to it.
It's really good. If you haven't heard it and you're at all interested, you should go check it out. And they did like a Gundam episode a little while back, like a couple weeks.
Oh,
and
really?
It talked about Gundams. And it was a really, really good episode. So I say the three of us should make Gundams. Both of those hosts should make Gundams. And the best one of ours should be put up to vote against the best one of theirs.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I want to do a contest.
My plan was to do like not just snap the model together. I was going to do the thing where you like do the panel lining and do a top coat and stuff.
Dude, yeah.
So I don't know if they, like, I don't know how good it's going to be. I've never done these things before. This is like, I wanted to start over and kind of like do them right.
I've never even painted a Warhammer fig. I am not going to win this, but I really want to try.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. So here's one thing to keep in mind with the high grade ones, which are the cheapest. The thing is the coloring in the different plastics, there's less variety of colors.
So if
you go higher grade.
To like a real grade?
Or like a master grade even, there's, what I mean is like, so if you watch the show, the Gundam, some of them are like super colorful. If you get a master grade one, more of those colors that from the show will be already, the plastic will be in that color.
Okay.
It's like with Gundam, you don't have to paint them at all, any grade. They're colored. The plastic is colored.
Oh no, I want us to paint them and like deck them the fuck out. Like I'm like looking up LED kits right now to like put light in the eyes and shit. I think it'd be fucking sick. Anyway.
Well, let's give
I'm going to they're on a road trip right now, but I will reach out to them at Super Sugoi Cast, and I will let them know that the hammer has been put down.
Well, here,
and
we'll
see if they try to pick it up.
What we should do is, so I actually ordered this Gundam manga called Gundam Origins, which is they redid the original manga. The original artist, like, redrew everything, and they published it, like, nice hardbound volumes. I ordered them from Amazon. So maybe in a future episode, we can do Gundam.
Or we can I like how you think we can do that when you get back.
Yeah, and then we can, at the same time, we can do the models.
I like that. Has there ever been, like an Optimus Prime kind of Gundam? Like a Transformer Gundam?
Some of them transform. Like, okay, so...
Because I gotta tell you, what I really want to make is a Decatora Gundam.
Well, I don't think there's any that transform into trucks.
Because Decatora is the sickest fucking thing ever. But there's,
like, I don't know if you've ever watched Gundam Wing. I've seen an episode.
I followed no part of it.
The main character's mobile suit, which is called the Wing Gundam, transforms into, like, a jet kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's, like, the only one that really transforms.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, I'm gonna spec it the fuck out.
Or here, go onto like GundamPlanet.com or Tatsu Hobby and just like scroll through the kits and find one that you think looks cool.
All right. So I'm gonna look for at least real grade on Tatsu Hobby. Man, I have bookmarked the shit out of things. And here earlier today, I was just thinking, man, I need to do less and consume less. And here I am like adding things to the list instead.
I know what you mean. I was thinking like I have too many hobbies, but
we should build different Gundams. David, what are you actually making?
So the one that I have is so I have a few kits, so it doesn't necessarily have to be this one, but the one that I bought is, from the OVA called, I think it was an OVA. It might have just been a show, but it was like a short one. It's called War in the Pocket. That's the name of the it was like six episodes. And the mobile suit is called Camper, Kamper. And it's my favorite mobile suit from all of Gundam. This is actually like the third version of Camper that I'm gonna have built.
Nice.
And so this is one I'm going to build. So there's a couple, because there's one, it's the YMS-18 Camphor. Or no, excuse me, MS-18E Camphor. Because there's two other ones, but I'm building the one from War in the Pocket. Because there's one from, Build Fighters, but I'm not going to build that one. So that's the one I will do. Or if somebody else really wants to do that one, I have a couple other kits that I can do. I also have what's it called, Shining Gundam from G Gundam. I have a Shining Gundam kit. But Andy, there's some cool ones that have like dragons for arms and stuff.
Ooh, that is sick. I was I would love to do like an Avatar themed one, and with the dragons I could totally do like a Firebender themed one.
Look up Gundam Nataku, which is the dragon one from Gundam Wing.
Right. That was going to be my backup.
Well, there's actually two. There's a dragon one in G Gundam also.
All right.
So if you ever want to watch like a weird ass Gundam, watch G Gundam. It's fucking strange. The whole premise of the show is weird.
We need to We seriously need to do like a Gundam manga / anime series for the show, because I feel like we've done anime and we've hit a lot of anime tropes, but we have not hit Gundams, and it's a serious oversight.
Yes, we should.
Okay. Get on that research, Jen.
Oh, I've done it. It's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, so there's actually, it's called Dragon Gundam, which has, so Gundam Nataku has one arm is a dragon's head. Dragon Gundam, both arms are dragon heads.
Fuck yeah. All right. I've got this. I'm calling dibs on that one. The one with two arms, Dragon Gundam from G Gundam.
Okay. I'm doing Wing Gundam Zero from Endless Waltz.
Nice. Oh, so it has like the angel wings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds fucking sick though. I love angels. Okay.
Dude, Gundam, it's really cool. I love the whole franchise, and, I just decided decided to get back into it for some reason. And part of the reason why I started looking at Gundams is because I've been buying, like, lately I've been buying Lego kits.
Uh-huh.
But the problem with Lego kits is they're so easy for me to build. They're done with really quick. And then I don't really play with them, right? And I have this weird thing where my son likes to play with Legos, but sometimes I'll buy a Lego kit and I'll build it and then I don't want to give it to him because I don't want him to take it apart.
Yeah, you know it's going to break in like 2 seconds.
So like the kits he buys, I used to get upset. Like I would build them and then he would play with them and they would just start to come apart. And then I was like, you know what? That's kind of the point of Legos is for him to take them apart and build other things. So I stopped getting upset about it. But what ends up happening is I buy these Lego kits. They're like 20 to 50 bucks or something. And then I build it and then I put it in the closet.
Oh.
And that seems like such a waste. So at least with the Gundams, I can take my time, build it, do all this cool stuff. And then, I could put it up somewhere. It'll look really cool. I don't know. This seems like a better idea to me somehow in my head. I don't make any sense. But what part of the reason is it's like, it'll be a hobby that I can do that can come like, consume time and I can do at home and take my time doing it. I don't have to go anywhere. So
I already imagined that when you come back from vacation, we're going to be recording this show and you're going to be sitting there making the Gundam while we record.
That has potential to happen. But so like, I'm going to try to do it when I would do them, I would just snap the pieces out. I wouldn't do any like touch up work on them. I'd snap them together and I'll be like, look at this sick ass robot I've got. And it was really satisfying. But now I'm going to try to do it like as best I can. Make it really cool.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that for sure. We're going to do this. We're all going to do it together. But right now this week, we need to do this week's comic before, because I think we can talk about Gundams all night. But this comic, I want to say things about this comic.
This week's comic.
Yeah. Definitely. I enjoyed this one.
Yes. It was fun.
Yeah. This was really, really fucking good. I had to think it would be said it was going to be Brian K. Vaughan, but it was just really good.
Definitely. Like, I've read Doctor Strange and other things because, you know, he appears in, like, Avengers and whatnot, right? But yeah. I haven't really read a Doctor Strange comic, and it turns out there really aren't many of them.
No.
He hasn't had his own solo title in a long time. Yeah, solo book. That's the word I was looking for. And so, I felt like the pacing and the length of this comic was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, he's a stalwart on the Defenders. He was like a founding member and he's always there. That's like his crew. You know, I mean, of course he has an Avenger. Everybody has an Avengers card. But Doctor
Strange,
he's never been
a member of the Avengers.
Wow, really?
No, he made a joke about that in this comic.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. He said, this is why I'm not one of the Avengers. Because he was like having to take care of everybody else while he was trying to, fight Nicodemus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I read him in more things now. Because I saw his, there was like a Marvel animated movie that I saw on Netflix for Doctor Strange, and I watched it and it was okay. So I knew what his origin story was before I read this, but I really liked the origin storytelling in this one because it was just like 2 pages, bam, done. All you need to know, let's get into the story, because that's who Doctor Strange was and it's going to matter. But what matters is the situation he's in right now and how he's dealing like this with this pressure. I appreciate the way that Brian K. Vaughan does the thing that you're told a million times to do when you're writing classes, which is just start off in the middle of the situation. Story starts, he's already been shot.
Yeah, it opened really strong. And what's cool too is like that wasn't even the story. Like him being shot wasn't the story. The story was about him saving Wong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is one of the best first issues we've read in quite a long time.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very strong start.
From the beginning of this thing, it opened up and I was like, okay, this starts out with Iron Fist, who I love. And it's wonderful. It's just a great little scene with Iron Fist just complaining about a pulled hand. This is stuff like you don't think about when you're watching or like when you're reading, Like, sure, Thor probably never pulls a hamstring, but Iron Fist, he's just a dude with, like, extra strong chi who knows a little bit of karate. Oh, well, not a little bit. Knows a shitload of karate. I think he knows a lot.
Probably not karate.
Well, he knows a lot of martial arts. And, but he's, other than that, he's just a dude. Like, he's gonna pull a hamstring. And, like, this other chick got hit in the face with a mace. That happens when they fight. Like, in the clothes breaking. Like, they got, where did they go in the middle of the fucking night when they just finished up a fight and they're, like, hurting? They can't exactly go and use their dad's insurance. And I love, it just starts with that really simple, like, calm moment before the storm. And then Brian K. Vaughan just whisks you away on this really fun ride. And, I don't know. Maybe it's just me after last week and hating last week's art, but I loved the art in this, and I think that was a huge part of the reason that this first issue was so good.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those issues or episodes where it's hard for us to say bad things about this comic.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I mean, it's such a great self-contained story.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard Marcos Martin, he was the penciler, and I've heard him before, but I didn't know a Marcos Martin. Like, I if you'd asked me, okay, what's something done by Marcos Martin, I would not have been able to tell you. But it's a name that I've known, and now I know why I knew it without ever having read him. Because, okay, I'm just going to gush on this first issue. Like, the framework while Night Nurse is operating on him, like, this center frame is Night Nurse at the table, and those frames around are all the things that happen around the actual operation. Like, the IV, the table, the tray with the tools, like, all this stuff around is sort of in the panels around him as she's operating on him. And, like, the cape, oh my god, he's, like, the cape walked away. And then the cape in, like, four panels slowly sneaks into the room and gets on Doctor Strange. And he doesn't say a word. It's just, like, a thing. And then the moment where he's holding the bottle of pills and it's rattling and, god, it's so good. I like, that's half of the list of things I loved about this first comic. That's literally half of it.
He is the same artist as we read in The Private Eye.
Oh, yeah. He was really good in that,
like,
too.
Yeah. Same, like, level of detail, amazing framework. Like, he has frame movement down to a T.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. And just, I don't know, the details were wonderfully creepy. My favorite one is Nicodemus West and his, like, weird walleye.
Yeah.
Because when he's, like, younger, his eyes look more normal and you can't tell that they're different colors from each other. But as he gets, like, more and more immersed in the dark arts and, like, evil pharmaceutical companies, like, it's very clear that his eyes are different colors and they point in different directions. And I just thought that gave him, like, a really good creep factor.
Yeah. Yeah. Gimps are creepy. No. Not at all, not at all. No. No, and I mean, you talk about, like, his framework, and I'm sitting here thinking, the only person I remember really, really loving their framework is J.H. Williams III. But I feel like I like his framework, Williams's framework, because he just throws frames out and does whatever the fuck he wants on the page and calls it story making, and it's beautiful and it works. But I really appreciate Marcos Martin for doing this amazing flow with this framework and still having traditional frames with white outlines. Like, to me, it's like, you have two poets, right? And you have the one who writes in free rhythm and free rhyme, like, just writes out the poem and fuck it all to pentameter or whatever the hell. Like, just put in the beautiful story and condense it. Like, he's more the E.E. Cummings, right? But Marcos Martin is the guy who will work within the form and make it beautiful and make it all work in spite of the requirements of the structure of the poem given its form. Like, Marcos Martin writes the sonnet. I don't know. It's the best thing I can think of for an allegory. Like, I really appreciate the extra craft it takes to do that.
Yeah, and I think what makes the art stand out in this is that it's almost like there's really good conservation of energy in the storytelling. There's nothing pointless in the art, but nothing is left out, so you always know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that a lot of the time, comics fall prey to, like, either end of the spectrum, where either you're left confused because you're missing actions in the middle, and you're like, how did he get over there? Or, like, how did this guy block this punch? But on the other side, it's like there's too many frames, the story moves too slow, and this comic felt really fast-paced to me.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it was just because it was only five issues. I think each issue moved really fast, and it was because the art just told the story in such an efficient manner.
Yeah, and something, I mean, it's also in Brian K. Vaughan's ballpark too. Like, he's really good at making sure something significant happens in every issue, but that something significant or the fight that he sets up matters for the narrative. You know, like when there's a random demon shows up, gets summoned and burns down Night Nurse's like building. Like, yes, they fight the demon, and there's storytelling happening while they fight the demon, and the demon did need to burn the place down so that she would go with them. Like, all of this, it moves the story along, but at the same time, you're never bored and it never feels slow while you're reading, because he's fighting a giant fucking demon. Or like when he goes into the other dimension and fights the cat, or when he goes into the guy's mind to fight the memories there, the false memories. Like, every bit of it, keeps the action moving along. It's brilliantly paced, but then at the same time, it all matters and it all works towards the unifying purpose of this story, which I guess is why everybody loves Brian K. Vaughan, because he's so damn good at this.
Yep.
Well, let's get into the, what was your guys' favorite scene?
I think maybe you guys might agree with me. I think you might agree with me on this one. It's the part where they can't use magic.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yes.
And Doctor Strange is, he says, I forget what the line is, the great line about, in some ways, Wong is the master.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
That was my favorite scene for sure. Because it's like it's a totally different side of Doctor Strange, but it totally makes sense. It's not like over, cause you know, sometimes you're reading, it's not just comics, but like in movies and in different kinds of media, sometimes the hero just knows he's just like a badass fighter or she's just the best fighter ever, no matter what the show is about or something. But this made sense because he was like, yeah, Wong taught me martial arts, and he says something like, oh, I'm not going to beat Iron Fist, but I could take your ass down, kind of thing.
Yeah, and like, this is also after we saw Wong take down a gang of four dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we totally believe that Doctor Strange can do a one-on-one fight. I mean, we saw Wong take down four gangbangers.
Yeah, and like another part, Doctor Strange tells Wong to like break a metal door down or something before Night Nurse picks the lock, but
yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, that scene was very satisfying. And, you know, the part that, like, you know, Doctor Strange, he's the Sorcerer Supreme. He's, like, the best magic user in the world, right? Or maybe the universe. But he's, the fact that he's, like, has to deal with his injury the whole time makes it kind of feel like he is, it brings him down a notch and makes him maybe more relatable or something.
Yeah, and I was
and so say, this scene where he has to rely on something other than his magic really kind of makes him more sympathetic too, you know.
Yeah, that was a scene that was one of my favorite scenes. It's totally throwaway, but when Wong is explaining why Doctor Strange can't just summon a cure for Wong's cancer. Cause I'm sitting here thinking like, yes, okay, in comics you always say magic comes with a price, and usually that means that there's gonna be some, usually the price is the cost of good storytelling. Like, it just means later on some, you're gonna pull magic out of the machine with magic, like you're gonna use magic as a deus ex machina for a problem the magician has, and then two issues later, the villain is going to pull some deus ex machina problem out of his or her ass to keep the story moving along. Like, it feels so detrimental to storytelling so often to have magic in the story, because it just seems like it comes out of nowhere. And sure, you have to pay for it, in air quotes, but, like, you don't really pay for it. It's just some problem happens that the hero has to overcome again later. But I like when Wong is describing to the night nurse, like, magic only goes so far. If science is gone to a certain point, then that's where magic has to stop. And so it's really cool that it creates this dynamic relationship between humanity and then the scientific and the mystical and the magical. And, like, one is constantly encroaching further on the other, and the other one is regaining ground on the back end, like, because we're forgetting our mystical roots, magic's able to be better. Like, it's really neat how there's just in, like, two throwaway lines, Wong sets up this great dynamic between science and magic that explains why Doctor Strange can't just heal him damn self or heal Wong like it's nothing. Like, no, he can't just summon a magic pill. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was a great way. It was such, like, efficient use of dialogue to do, like, a huge amount of world building, you know? Because it sets it, like you said, it's almost just a throwaway line, but it sets up the rules, you know? And that I think is important because, you know, you can just, like you said, Andy, they could just keep doing magic and, you know, keep stepping it up as the story needs. And then that isn't good storytelling, right?
Yeah. What about you, Jen? Did you have a favorite moment?
It was actually specifically, like, within that moment, and it was when Strange got beat up a little, because I think it would have been very typical. Like, you know, David mentioned there's a lot of heroes who can just, like, be all-around badasses, and Strange isn't one of them, but he knows, like, some martial arts, but he still, like, took a few really painful hits, yeah. And just seeing that made it feel like there was actually something at stake. You know, if he had just, like, blocked it nonchalantly and been like, oh, you know, Wong taught me how to do this, we'd be like, well, of course he's going to win. He has protagonist and general badass power. But, you know, like, he's in a bad situation. Wong might die. Like, he can't use his magic, and he's also getting beat up. So I think it actually created, like, I mean, we know he's going to win because he does have protagonist power, yeah. But it created more tension. And it was more like, well, how is he going to win? Is Night Nurse going to save him? Is Wong going to, like, wake up and save the day? So it was more like, how is he going to get out of this? Which is a more interesting question than when, right? My other favorite scene, though, is when Night Nurse is trying to operate on him. And he's just bugging her. It's like, dude, this is the worst idea. Do not.
Yeah, he's doing backseat surgery.
Yeah, that seems like a really terrible plan.
Well, it's that old adage, like, doctors make the worst patients.
And he does compliment her sutures, though.
He does. It's just, man, like, that's a good way to die. you know, it set him up really well, though, too, because I didn't really know what he would be like, and it set him up as kind of, like, obnoxious and arrogant, yet also a bit funny. Like, he's like Dr. Gregory House from the show House, but with magic. And, you know, less cantankerous.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, he's a pompous ass, and he's arrogant. But he's also arrogant because he's the best. He is the Sorcerer Supreme. And before that, he was one of the best surgeons alive. Like, he was the best in the world at one thing, and then he lost the ability to do that and walked off and became the best in the world at a different thing. When you are the best at two separate things in one lifetime, two entirely separate things, you can be a bit of a pompous ass, and it's excused. Like, you earned it.
You know what was cool about this comic? It was that it focused more on him being a doctor than it did on him being Sorcerer Supreme. That was just kind of like a side note to everything, where he has to use magic and battle demons. But the main focus is him trying to cure a patient and having, like, doctor fights.
Well, and the thing, too, is that he, like Andy said, he was the best surgeon in the world, and now he's the best magician wizard guy in the world, and neither of those things can save his friend.
Yeah. Which is a medical problem.
Yeah.
Of all the irony.
And so that makes the struggle more interesting, because it's not like he can snap his fingers and just make things go away. And we even see, Nicodemus tried to use magic to cure somebody's cancer, and that didn't go well.
No. No,
that poor guy. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm gonna make a confession. My favorite scene was not actually that scene where Wong explains the rules to the night nurse. I said that's what it was because I was pretty sure one of you two were going to say that your favorite moment was when Doctor Strange failed to stop Nicodemus West from falling because there was still sand in the hourglass. Like that for me, like, oh, he's dying. He want to save him, but his own idiocy. No, the folly. I don't know. That was just, cause it's just the fight, right? And the fight's over. And you think it's over. You think it's no problem. And Nicodemus is going to give up the ghost and Doctor Strange is going to win and everything's going to be fine. But like Nicodemus on the verge of gaining retribution for himself, or gaining, what's the word? I don't know. Redeeming himself. Yeah. Retribution, I guess. And on the verge of redeeming himself, he dies to his own folly. And it's like, I don't know. I love that moment. And then the art there was perfect. I mean, Marcos Martin did a great job of some of the little facial expressions for Doctor Strange. Like, you can see the heartbreak in Doctor Strange's face when he realizes that he can't save him because of the goddamn hourglass. That one, and what's the other facial, when he's meeting with the community leader, dude, I forgot his name, and he's walking out of the room after saying no, and the community leader guy grabs Stephen Strange's arm. And Steven, like, looks back at him with this, like, this look of, like, you fucking dare touch me right now? I don't know, this, like, face that he had of just, like, anger and disgust.
Oh, was it the shot that's, like, pointing up towards him and he's looking down his nose?
Yes.
Because that was, I think, one of the best facial expressions in this whole one.
It was perfect. It was one little frame and it was perfect. Ugh. But yeah, no, that was it for me. That face and that moment when he realizes he can't save Nicodemus. That was really it. Because I know he kisses the girl in the end, but that to me felt anticlimactic. Like, at the end, I really didn't care about their relationship.
Does he know her name yet? Like, I feel like he didn't at that point.
No, she's still just night nurse, but yeah, whatever.
But they were very flirtatious and stuff, so it's not like, it felt like it was bound to happen. At least to me.
I'm kind of thinking maybe he could have asked what her name was at some point.
Maybe her name is Night Nurse. Dr. Night Nurse.
Dr. Night Nurse. That's the name for your firstborn child, Andy. Dr. Night Nurse.
Night Nurse, my last name. Yes.
Dr. Mrs. the Monarch.
I really did want to name our child Slagathor Bloodaxe.
Why?
I think that's a pet name. Slagathor is such a sick name! I'm sorry, yeah, but I'm not gonna give that up. Okay, middle name. I'll push for middle name Slagathor.
Somehow I don't think that's gonna fly.
I don't think so either. Anyway.
Just tell Matali it's like a traditional German name.
Okay. Yeah. What else did you guys have for this comic?
I don't know, man. I feel like I was saying earlier, I thought the pacing and length were really good. But man, when it was over, I thought I could really use some more Doctor Strange comics.
Yeah, yeah, where's Trade Volume 2?
Man, I was just going to say, I like Brigand. He was so sad.
Right?
He just came across as the most pitiful person because he was so smug the whole time, and it did him no good.
I don't know if he was invented for this or not, but I really like the character design of, we're just going to take a common thief, like some stupid brigand thief idiot, and just make him a little bit smarter. Not like really smart, but like Boy Scouts be prepared kind of smart. So Brigand's like, yeah, you sent me into Doctor Strange's house, so I brought a gun that probably had bad mojo on it. I don't know, whatevs, and used a silver bullet. And it's the gun that worked, but like Nicodemus is like, he's not a werewolf, you fucking idiot. Yeah. But to his credit, he was smart enough to get a fucking gun that would work.
Hitler's handgun.
Yeah. Like, to his credit, he might be a fucking idiot, but to his credit, he's kind of smart.
It's like the most evil handgun in history.
Hey, it works.
Yeah. Where did he get that, right? Like,
he said he stole it from somebody else.
I saw that and I'm just like, this comic, this is gold.
And I like how Wong and Doctor Strange are like, yeah, it's Hitler's handgun, you know. And then he uses it later to kill the demon.
Yeah. And then after, he's just kind of like, ew.
And turns it into fucking fireflies and they fly away. I was like, oh, okay. Don't worry about that coming up anymore. Well.
Yeah, I mean, this was such a great comic. I don't know. Oh, so I looked up Brigand just now on the internet, and he has 3 total appearances in the Marvel Universe, and they are Doctor Strange the Oath number 1, Doctor Strange the Oath number 2, and Doctor Strange the Oath number 3.
He was good. I liked him. He was a good plot-moving villain.
Yeah, even Nicodemus West was a good villain, too.
Uh-huh.
He had a good villain name.
Yeah, and Nicodemus. And, you know what, hold on. I typed Nicodemus into our notes, and it doesn't have a red squiggly underline on it. Fucking Framework has... Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin mentioned in the Gospel of John, most notable for assisting in the burial of Jesus Christ. He is venerated as a Christian saint. Nicodemus appears 3 times in the Gospel of John.
See, I remember, isn't there a character named Nicodemus in the Rats of Nim story?
Yes.
That's where I remember.
He's like the head old rat guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the Yoda of rats.
I totally thought that was just the Yoda of rats. No, the Yoda of rats is Splinter. Always and forever.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
I thought it was a made-up name, but you're right. I remember from that, too, now. Oh, that was a good movie.
It's biblical.
Yeah. Biblical.
Biblical.
Oh, man. Okay, hold on. Give me just a second. I'm going to add that. Nicodemus to the short list of boys' names for our second child, if we have a boy. Nicodemus. Little Nico. It'd be cool. Well, Nico's a girl's name.
No, you could call a boy Nico.
I've known dudes named Nico, short for Nicholas.
Yeah. See, I was thinking Nico Robin and Nico from The Runaways.
Minoru? Yeah. Minoru? I forget what her last name is.
Yeah, Nico.
Yeah, yeah. The witch.
Yeah, she the witch. Yes. Yes, there we go. Also Brian K. Vaughan there.
Yeah.
Well.
I guess he likes the name Nico.
Hey, why not? Well, let's just, let's rate this one.
All right.
I'm going to go first.
All right.
I don't go first much, so I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this a 4.5. 4.5. I was going to give it a 4. It probably deserves a 5, but as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I feel like that cusp, that last half a point is for comics that are so good we just cannot stop talking about them. And I feel like this one is, I don't know, I feel like I'm penalizing it for being such a tight, tidy little story. And it's great and it's fun, but there's not like a moral dilemma for me to break down here. There's not like a philosophical thing for me to crack into that gives it that extra little push. For me, but literally everything else about this is perfect, and Marcos Martin is now on my short list of amazing favorite artists, right up there with like Amanda Conner and now I'm kicking myself forgetting his name, the guy who did Justice League International, Kevin Maguire.
I got my Kevin Maguire art, sorry.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Sick. Take a picture and post it on the Facebook.
All right.
Take a picture of you with it, smiling.
Well, I don't want to take it out of the box until I get in frame it, so it'll
probably... Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 4.5 because it's literally perfect, except My standards are too high. So four and a half. How about you, Jen?
I'm going to give it a 4. Like you said, it didn't have quite what it takes to be a 5. And while I enjoyed it, I honestly don't know how well I'm going to remember it, in the weeks to come. I will say, though, that it left me with a very strong hankering to read more Doctor Strange.
Nice.
This was an excellent introduction to the character. I feel like it was just very entertaining and well done overall. And I really just want to read comics where, like, Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom interact. Right? Like, wouldn't that be great? I really enjoyed this, and I don't really have anything bad to say about it. It just also wasn't... I tend to give 5s to things that are, like, gut-wrenching, I think.
There wasn't enough tragedy here.
Yeah, there's too much happy ending.
The only one who died was Nicodemus West, and that motherfucker deserved it anyway.
Yeah, we don't care. He's the villain. So, a 4.
You're totally right, though. Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom would be a great fight, because Doctor Doom fancies himself an amazing sorcerer, but then he augments it with science, which is where Doctor Strange meets his limits. That'd be interesting. But I know Doctor Strange would just put him in his place after fighting that fucking cat demon, which was awesome. Like a fucking Chinese shop. One of those little cat paw. Oh, God. David?
I don't know what else to say about this, but I'm going to give it a 4.5, too. I really like this comic. Like Jen said, it makes me want to read more Doctor Strange. But the story itself was just really tight, good pacing, great art. I don't really have anything bad to say about it, but it's not, just doesn't have that little something that makes it a 5.
Yep.
This
is a perfect comic, except for our high standards.
Yeah. But we can't just give everything 5s.
No, that's what happens when you've been reading comics together every week like this for so many years. Like, we know, like, we can't say what intangible is missing, but there's definitely something that this doesn't have that would give it a 5.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we're saying, listeners, is you just have to trust us. It's pretty close, though.
We don't have a good reason. But believe you me, there is one somewhere. All right, let's do some quotes.
Boxers and Saints. That's 5.
Yeah, that's right, that is. Oh, and Kraven's Last Hunt. I always go back to Kraven's Last Hunt. Okay, yeah, quotes.
We're good.
Quotes.
Okay. So, quotes brought to you by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. Become a patron today, and you can tell us what to read next. Or what not to read next, or whether you want us to do Fight Night instead of quotes or trivia or whatever. Basically, if you become a patron, you can tell us what you want us to do on the show, and we will do it. Because we are whores that way for your money.
Yep.
That's basically where I went. Anyway, the way quotes work, each one of us is going to read off a quote to a fellow co-host, and that co-host will have to guess who said the quote and in what context the quote was said. They will get 1 point for either one of those that they get right, or 3 points if they get them both right. Right now, Dave is in the lead with 6, Jen has 3, and I am, as always, trailing and dead last with 2. I don't know. I think I asked Jen last time, so I'm going to give my quotes to David first.
All right.
Oh, but I picked out like 3. Which one do I want to do?
Let me go first, because I only picked out 1. So
okay.
Who am I, I'm asking?
Ask Jen. I think you asked me last time.
All right, Jen, here's your quote. It's a short one. The quote is, "The doctor will see you now."
There's too many doctors in this. I'm going to guess that it was Doctor Strange who said it. And context. When would he have? Was it when he's... I feel like it was in a conversation with Brigand. Is it when he's in Brigand's mind? Final answer?
I'm sorry. You get no points on this one.
Oh.
It was Night Nurse. And it was in. It was when they teleport to Nicodemus, and he says something like, "He's coming." And then she says, "Sooner than you think, Psycho. The doctor will see you now."
That's nice and quippy.
That was her banter with Nicodemus. Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange rebukes her.
Yeah, he says, "Yes, very droll."
Womp womp.
Sorry, Jen.
That's okay.
I'm going to read mine to you now, David. I had two easy ones and what I think is a difficult one. So I'm going to give you the difficult. I don't know which is the one. Okay. Sorcerers have little patience for the laws of nature and even less for the laws of man.
Okay. This is Doctor Strange telling it to Night Nurse after he has damned Brigand to his own mind because she says, "What about due process? Blah, blah, blah."
Motherfucker, I gotta... Okay, you got that. I'm gonna give you those 3 points. Let me give you the other one, though, and see... Well, hold on. You give me mine, and then I'll... Or Jen, give me mine, and then I'll see if you could have gotten the other one, David. I need to know if you're just that good.
Okay.
All right, so lay it on me, Jen.
Okay. This one is... Excellent observation, you obscenely rank amateur.
Oh... You obscenely rank amateur.
Oh, see, I even know this one, too.
Motherfucker, David. Obscenely rank amateur. I'm going to guess that's Doctor Strange talking to Nicodemus. Excellent observation, extremely. Talking to Nicodemus when he breaks out of the bands, the emerald bands, or whatever they are, the green bands, and Nicodemus says, "What, you could just break out any time?" And Doctor Strange says... Excellent observation. You rank him. That's my guess. Yeah.
Yes. Full credit.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
That's correct.
I totally guessed that. Okay. David. Then my. Okay. This is for no points. Okay. I just want to know if you would have gotten this one too.
All right.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, I know that one.
This was one of my favorite moments in the
comic. That's when Doctor Strange is in Brigand's mind, and Brigand reveals who hired him.
Yes, perfect. Okay, so it wouldn't have mattered which one I gave you.
I don't know. I'm really good at this. I don't know about the quotes. I
thought this was finally my time, but no, it's David.
I'm sorry, this David is one that I'm really good at for some reason.
I don't know. I love that moment that like. Who the fuck is that guy? As if, like, the whole time, all Doctor Strange needed was the identity of the man attacking him, and suddenly he would know and be able to get it. But no, even with the identity, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
That was a great moment. All right, so scores after this week. David still in lead with 9. Woo, I'm catching up. I got 5, and Jen has 3.
Woohoo.
I don't know why I'm good at the quotes game.
I don't know, but you're a whole week ahead of both of us.
I'm sorry.
The next couple weeks, we're going to have to put the brakes on quotes, though, because next week, David's not here. The week after that, you're both gone. So we're going to have to pick this back up with episode 228. Yeah, 228. Yep. Wow. Next week, we're going to read Dr. Fate, Countdown to Mystery, number 1 to number 8. It was a little 8-issue run written by Steve Gerber. I looked up a bunch of lists of like the best Dr. Fate stories, and they were all in Justice Society of America. And I felt like if we didn't read the Defenders comic for Dr. Strange, then we shouldn't read a JSA comic for Dr. Fate. So Countdown to Mystery is literally the only Dr. Fate trade paperback ever published. He's had his own mini runs before, some that are rated pretty highly, but this seems to be the only one that was ever collected into a trade. And I don't know why. So we're going to read Dr. Fate, Countdown to Mystery, number 1 through number 8, and we'll see if it's any good. I don't know. Hopefully. But this just underscores for me that we really need to read JSA. Because I love them. And
me too.
You like Stargirl.
I love Stargirl.
And Power Girl's on it. And Wildcat. And like, we need to do JSA. We're going to do that later.
All right.
Anyway, for what else we have coming up later, go to our website, www.welcometocomics.com. We have, I think, the next 6 episodes planned out. So you can see what we have coming up on deck. I know Thor, Goddess of Thunder, the brand new Thor run is really popular. We're reading that in 2 weeks. And then we've got a whole like 4-episode thing with Gotham City Sirens coming up. And it's all on the website. Just go to www.welcometocomics.com and the button on the left. Actually, not a button anymore. There's a link. It says future shows. Click on that. You'll see them all. Click on past shows, too. You can check out all of our 225 previous episodes. We've been doing this too long. Annoyingly persistent is what we are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's it for this week, everybody. Until next week, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.